Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Oh, this is a treat. It gives me great pleasure to welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show one of the greatest surprises of my life when they brought Duff out to our studios in Manassas, and a lot of things have changed since then. Please welcome the man himself. He's got a show premiering on Discovery Plus today. It's called Duff's Happy Fun Bake Time, produced by the Jim Henson Company for Discovery Plus. Duff Goldman, the ace of cakes, is here from the Charm City Bakery. Hi, Duff. How
hey,
are
Mike.
You?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
It's great to have you on the show, and we're so excited. We're all big fans, and you were so nice to join us a few years back when you came by the studio. And now I want to talk about your new project, because you are going to be, what were you, a Pee-wee's Playhouse fan growing up? Where did this come from that suddenly you're going to be surrounded by puppets? What the heck is going on?
One day I was in my apartment and I was baking. I was making a babka. And as I was baking, I was watching Sesame Street. Because Sesame Street is a work of art, right? The way that Sesame Street just explains things, it's just beautiful. And I was like watching and just loving it. And, you know, I was making my babka. And I started thinking about, like, how would Sesame Street explain babka? And then I just started thinking about, like, how would baking and puppets work? And so I came up with this idea of, like, you know, I have this magical bakery that I can go anywhere, do anything. And I have, like, this, you know, a fun group of characters in the bakery that all kind of help me, you know, bake stuff, right? So we, you know, come up with different things. We make a cake and I got to make it. And so, you know, I had, like, the idea was cool. I wrote, like, a story, like, for an episode. And the way I kind of thought about it was each episode would be a single ingredient, right? So one episode is eggs. One episode is chocolate. One episode is salt, you know, and we, like, you know, really go into, like, what these things are and why we need them in cooking and how they work. And so I wrote this whole episode, like, you know, it's super silly. Like, we don't have any eggs for our cake. And so we have to figure out, how do we get the eggs, you know, for our friend's birthday? And so we go through the whole thing. We bake the cake without eggs and we show people what happens. You know, we take a microscope, we go deep inside the egg, and then I play an egg molecule, and I'm like swimming around in a little tutu and stuff, explaining, like, what's happening, you know, if you're chemically inside the egg. And it's just, it's super, super funny.
Wow. And it's going to be great. It's a family thing. It's going to be great for kids. I was thinking that, all right, being someone who, I like to spend some time in the kitchen, but I am terrified of baking. So if you're making this presentation on, it sounds like we're going to a market in Hong Kong. Happy time, happy fun time, Duff's happy fun bake time. It's
letters, Mike, before they could add super terrific.
I picture a cat with the hand going forward, you know, Duff's happy fun bake time. If I'm an adult, because I'm not good at baking, and I know, I don't know which prep I was reading about this show, where one of the biggest ingredients you talk about is patience, having patience. That's again, I have no patience. I'm a stir fry guy. Will this show, can I sit down with my 7-year-old and watch this? Will I get anything out of it as far as, like, education, or is it specifically educating children? I mean, that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely for everybody. And that was really important from day one. I was like, listen, you know, there's, like, some kid show, right? There's some stuff I love, right? I love Ice Age. Ratatouille is, I think, not only the greatest food cartoon ever made, I think it's the greatest food movie ever made.
That's,
I think,
great.
The way that Ratatouille captures flavor and kitchen culture, they nail it, absolutely nail it. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of great stuff. There's also a lot of kid stuff out there that when you hear it, you're just like, what am I listening to? Right? Like, it's just, it's annoying. It's high pitched. It's squeaky. It's just like, it's the worst. I wanted something that everybody could like. And the science that we go into here, I mean, I think everybody finds it fascinating. Like, when we're talking about, different pasta noodle shapes and why the different shapes are for different kinds of sauces, everybody thinks that's fascinating, not just kids.
I see. And that's so the answer really, I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely fine with that.
And Patton Oswalt, who was, we're having almost 6 degrees of separation with the Mike O'Mara show. Patton, who's been a frequent guest on our show, was
the voice,
the rat, the
Remy.
Ferret,
Remy,
in Ratatouille,
Remy.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he was Remy. He did that. Michael, come here. Michael.
Oh no.
Want you to meet Mr. Goldman. We watched you sent out a little blurb, a little promo, a little tease, and
it's great.
They're promoting the heck out of this, and I want you to say hi to my son, who is a very smart guy. Say hi to Mr. Goldman.
Hey buddy.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Goldman.
Yeah, tell him good luck on the show.
Good luck on the show.
If you could bake anything you'd want, if you could have what's your favorite kind of cake? Take your time. We've only got him for 20 minutes.
Yes, we have a hard out, so please choose.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah, chocolate cake.
All right, so, Michael, did you know the best chocolate cakes are made with oil, not butter? And that's the cakes that are really moist and really delicious. They have oil in them. Butter is too solid at room temperature, where the oil is nice and liquid. And that's why when you have a good chocolate cake that's really, really moist, that's why it's so good. Also, the really, really good chocolate cakes have a tiny bit of coffee in them, because coffee makes the flavor of chocolate bigger, just like when you put salt on a beef, right? So, like, if you eat beef with no salt, it doesn't taste that good. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's a beef. You put salt on it, you're like, beefy, right? A coffee is the same way. Put a little bit of coffee in your chocolate. It doesn't taste like coffee at all. It just really tastes like chocolate. So there you go.
Wow.
Back to the day.
Literal saucer.
Do you have any questions about anything baked? Do you like baked goods? Do you like cookies?
Yes.
Why don't you ask him what his favorite cookie is?
What's your favorite cookie?
I think my favorite cookie is... my grandmother had a housekeeper that made these peanut butter cookies, and I have her recipe, but to this day, I just can't quite get them as good as hers, but I think peanut butter cookies are my favorite.
All right.
My favorite are chocolate chip.
Now, do you like your chocolate chip cookies fat and chewy or thin and crispy?
Thin and crispy.
Yeah, me too. I actually have a really good recipe for thin and crispy cookies that I'll send you. They're really good. And even your dad, who is a terrible baker, who has no patience whatsoever, I bet he'll be able to make them.
All right, buddy. Say bye-bye.
Bye, Mr. Goldman.
Good to meet you, Michael.
Hey, Duff, when you're trying to get that peanut butter cookie recipe right, have you tried putting coffee in it?
It doesn't work.
Oh my God.
I have a question. I love the fact that you are doing the science of cooking, which fascinates me. Always have loved it. But whenever I'm trying to teach it to my kids, who are now practically grown-ups, they're 18 and 20, it scares them away. What do you do to make it so appealing? Because do you have like a gene where you, because you made science so fun just in that little preview clip. It's how do you do it? What's your baseline?
I think what it is, it's like I'm always like I'm fascinated by stuff, and I'm really like I get really excited about things in the kitchen. And I think that when you're so excited about stuff, you're like, look how cool this is. You know, yeah, it's super cool. You know, and everybody, you know, we're having a big cool fest, right? Because you're so sort of jazzed about like why something is happening, and when you can explain it in English, and that's the I think the big trick is that. A lot of times, like, people will explain stuff to you, and because, like, they want to sound smart, they use big words, right? But, like, nothing is that hard. Nothing is that complicated, right? So, like, when you can, like, really explain something and really in words that everybody can understand, you know, when you talk over someone's head, they tune out. They're like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. I can't listen anymore. But, like, when you really, like, explaining it in a way that people can really understand, and you can share that enthusiasm and that curiosity that you have, I think that's what does it. It's like, you know, oh wait, this person thinks something is very cool. and they're explaining it to me in a way that I can understand why they think it's cool, and now I think it's cool.
That's great.
You know, you're involved with your experience with the Food Network and with all this competition that we see on the Food Network, where it's just constant. There are baking challenges and this challenge. And you've got so many different projects, it's hard to keep track of. As far as the biggest difference, you correct me if I'm wrong, between, you know, cooking where you can kind of wing it and you can discover stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there anything – baking, I've always thought you have to be precise. You have to – the measurements mm-hmm. count. The amount that you put in counts. What you do counts.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had that moment you hear a lot about in chefs' kitchens where you make a slight error or you discover something by accident that results in a great baked good? In your case, a cake or something like that. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. One time I was making a cake and I had covered it in fondant and it needed to be
in
brown.
What?
And
in
my.
What is it? What did you cover it in?
Fondant.
Fondant.
Covered it in. Yeah, fondant, which is like, it's kind of the consistency of pie dough, but it's a sugar paste. You roll it out really thin and you lay it on top of the cake and smooth it down. It gives the cake this really nice, smooth finish.
Okay, and a lot of your cakes look like that. I get it. All right.
Right. And so I needed to make the fondant brown and my airbrush was broken, right? So I was like, oh, I'll use a paintbrush. And so I started painting the brown right on top of it. It looked absolutely terrible. It did not look like the cake was supposed to be this nice, soft brown. But what happened was sugar is hygroscopic. There's a big word, but I'll tell you what it means. It means water-loving, right? So sugar will drink the moisture out of the air. So like when you go to the diner and you try to get the sugar out of the big, the glass thing and it's all stuck to the bottom, it's stuck to the bottom because the sugar absorbed all the moisture, became a liquid, recrystallized, and stuck together. And now you have a big lump of sugar in the bottom of the glass that you can never get out. So same thing. What happened was the sugar in the fondant started sucking up all the liquid that was in the paint. Then the sugar and the liquid mixed, and they got really sticky. So as I was painting it, it got streakier and streakier and streakier, and it eventually looked exactly like wood grain. And I figured out how to make stuff look like wood grain. You paint it brown and you just keep going over the same spot over and over until it gets really sticky. And then the surface of the fondant grabs the paintbrush and makes it kind of skip and stick. And it slides it around and it looks exactly like wood grain.
That's so cool. Now I expect a puppet to come in and say, it's a miracle, Duff. It's a miracle. The cake turned into a wood plank. It's a miracle that we have right there. Oscar, go ahead. Oh, by the way, I got to give him another plug.
I love this. There you go. International symbol for puppeteering.
Yeah,
I'm a puppet.
I'm Yoda cake. Yoda cake, yes. Fondant. Fondant we will cook or we will make.
Go ahead, Oscar. I know you've got a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, Duff, we would be remiss not to mention, the current state of the world. And I'm curious to see the twofold. One, how your businesses pivoted as best as possible during the pandemic. And then the filming process with puppets. Do they wear masks?
We will go to Goldbelly and sell cakes for a fortune. We will. Yes, we will.
Here we go. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Duff. I'm kidding.
Home run.
You sell it for a million. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. Let's go.
It's funny because it's true.
Let me tell you. I think it's really important to look at things like Goldbelly, which is one of the things that we did during the pandemic. Like, nobody's having weddings, nobody's having big birthday parties. So we literally, our business, we're humming along, doing our thing. It went to zero.
Amazing.
We had zero income, overnight, zero income. Every cake on the books is canceled. Overnight. What are we going to do? So Goldbelly was one of the ways that we did this. Look, we can't sell, big wedding cakes, but we can still get cakes to people. And now we can do it all over the country, which is really great. We've always tried to figure out how to do it. Goldbelly figured out how to do it. And so we got a really great partnership with those guys. And the thing about Goldbelly, it's like, oh, you want some brisket from a barbecue joint in Texas that you heard about on you know, Gualtieri show or something.
Right.
Well, now you can go to Gold Belly and you can get it. And it's great for you because you get to have the exact real, that barbecue that you want. And it's great for those guys in Texas because they got a little barbecue stand. And now all of a sudden they are cranking out briskets left and right. So it's really, really good. I would highly recommend that people go to Gold Belly and just search around and see what's there. And, you know, if you got a buddy that was always telling you about the crab cakes at this one restaurant in Baltimore, like Jimmy's Famous, right? You know, go to Jimmy's Famous. I don't think they're on Gold Belly. I think they just do it themselves.
I know there's a Maine lobster roll on Gold Belly. I think there's a lobster roll on there. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everything. Amazing. Everything you can think of. And like, maybe you grew up in Maine and now you live in Idaho and you're not getting good lobster rolls. But you can't.
Right.
You know? So I think that's really good. So that's one of the things that we did was we went to Gold Belly. Another thing that we did was we started doing lots of digital classes. You know, we did all of our classes were in the bakery. You know, like people would come in, we'd have a class. It was super fun. Now we do it where we're sending people kits. So everything they need for their cake is in the kit. Then they log on to our website and we have a class and everybody tunes
That's
in
cool.
and, you know,
That's
they
great.
Can like ask questions and there's a lot of back and forth and everybody sees each other and it's really, really fun. So we did find ways that you know, we could get through it. And I think it's great. And I think what this did for a lot of us in the restaurant industry is really think about our revenue streams and, you know, we like, having every restaurant in the country have to shut down simultaneously is not something anybody ever thought would happen. So you don't plan for that stuff. But now everybody who has now lived through this pandemic, everybody's thinking, well, look, what if this goes away or what if that goes away? How do we pivot? How do we stay in business? So that's some of the stuff that we did. And now with filming has been fascinating. It's been, we get tested every other day. You know, like an actual COVID test, but we get like our temperature taken and we, you know, they check for symptoms every single day. You walk on set, first person you see is somebody from some sort of service that's a COVID monitor that are making sure that, you know, you don't have any symptoms. And then you are wearing a mask the entire time. When they say, action, you know, mask comes off, we do our scene, goes right back on as soon as they say cut.
Wow. And they're working and you're working yourself. I mean, I saw some of the clips here where you're in full costume and you're flying around the air being an egg yolk and all this stuff. And I mean, it's it's pretty labor intensive. How many have you put in the can? How many episodes of the Happy Time show have you done?
Happy Fun Bake Time has 6 episodes. And hopefully people will watch it and we'll get to make more. But, you know, we'll see. This is a big, like, departure, right? This is a new, like, I mean, you know, not a lot of scripted stuff on any Discovery Network, let alone Food Network. I mean, you know, nothing scripted. And so, like, this, like, I got to tell you, I mean, just I am so grateful for them for just having the chutzpah to roll the dice on me and just be like, all right, look. You know, we're working with, you know, the Jim Henson Company, which we've never done before, doing a scripted show, which we've never done before, you know, taking, you know, some of our talent that's, you know, pretty, you know, a big part of a lot of shows and letting you do something completely different that you can fail miserably at, like, we're taking a big chance. And then for some reason they said yes. So I don't want to let him down. I think you're really great at it.
I think you're perfect.
I do too.
I think that the idea is it's such a fit for you to do this. I know. And before we let you go, we only got you for a couple more minutes. Having a kid, did that in some way motivate you for this project a little bit? Because people think differently.
No.
As soon as that little life comes into the world.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, you're totally right. I mean, like now that I've had, like, she's 3 months old now. I mean, now I have a kid. Like, I mean, I feel like I have purpose in my life. I feel like I finally have direction and like a reason for being here. I came up with this idea way before my daughter was, you know, even a twinkle in my eye.
The show is Duff's Happy Fun Bake Time. It's produced by the Jim Henson Company.
So cool.
For Discovery Plus. And as Oscar, said with a little naughty word, they're promoting the out of this. They're thinking you got something there. Rob, I know you have one more question before we let Duff go.
Do you pinch yourself that you saw Sesame Street, had an idea, and then fast forward and you're working with Muppets. And what's it like? I mean, they're so, they've been a part of our culture now for nearly 60 years. Yeah, what's it like working with Muppets?
Yeah. Man, I tell you, like, every single day, my wife is coming with me to the set a lot, and, like, every single day, like, both of us are just like, can you believe this is happening? Like, the Jim Henson Company and, you know, Discovery and Food Network all said yes to this weird idea I had when I was in my kitchen just baking a babka and watching Sesame Street, like a normal 40-something-year-old person.
I love it.
You know, like, it's, I mean, you guys know how show business works. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are millions and millions of good ideas every day. And when one of them actually gets made, the amount of things that need to go right for something this different and this weird and this unproven to actually get made. I mean, that's why they keep making the same movies over and over and over. You're like, oh, well, that would work. So let's just make 10 more of those. You know what I mean? Like, you know, for people to really take a chance, I mean, it's, you know, it is rare. It is rare. And like, I personally, you know, I've never been as proud of a project as this.
That's great.
Seeing it come together.
I wish you the best. I really do.
The music is amazing. The puppets are amazing. The food is amazing. It's just everything about it. It's just, you're going to love it. It's really, really good.
We're here to see. I will be sitting down with my 7-year-old to watch this. And I wish you the best of luck. You're so generous to come on our show and join it. It's Duff's Happy Fun Bake Time, and it premieres today on Discovery Plus. You can see it today. I want everybody in our listening audience to give it a watch, especially with your little one. It's a family show, and we need more of those as well. And if you want to get one of Duff's cakes, you can go to Gold Belly and get those too. And really, nothing but a success to you. I hope you do really well with this. And you know, after your 10th season, you're like, I never want to see another Muppet. Come back and join us, Duff, when that happens. Duff Goldman, thank you.
Duff.
Thank you for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Take care. Thanks, Rob.
That's Duff, everybody.
So cool.
That's awesome.
That is very cool. So very, cool. Very cool.
And so before we go, thank you, Mark Riddell, for setting that up.
Woo! Oh, you've learned, my boy.
Yes.
You have learned.
That's M-I-R-K-R-I-D-D-E-L, Mark Riddell.
Okay, he's fine. Tell him not to make promos that sound like he's the bottom of a toilet now.
He's already working on
creating.
He's correcting it. He's working on it.
What was the problem? Suddenly he's making these little things, and it's just like,
okay, Oscar Santana's got me.
Rob, are you a baker? I never asked this.
Mike, I do a little something called fruitcake. Come on.
Oh, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. That's right. I don't have the patience. Here's my problem.
You hate the science. You hate the science of cooking.
I hate the science of cooking. I don't like to do it.
You love to do, and I've seen you cook, and you're very good. You're a great cook. But I want it in my belly. And you're also one of these guys. But you cook like the movie Oscar. When Mike cooks, it's like the movie Cocktail.
Look, if you know somebody that's famous and would like to come on the Mike O'Mara Show, we are told by Duff as we tape this in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you'll notice that when we come back from break, we're all going to be wearing different shirts.
Not me. Yes.
Maybe not Rob. Maybe not Rob.
Got to roll the dice.
We are the most thoughtful people. We are, you know, I have been in the habit ever since we got a hard time. The worst thing that could ever happen when you would do a Radio Row thing, and you'd get the big celebrity that would come on, and they would say, you've got him for 11 minutes, or you've got him for 20 minutes, or you've got him 25 minutes. And the worst you would ever get. We were so, in the world of radio, so devalued by the publicist that you'd have said, there's nothing was like, well, let me ask you one last question. Somebody goes like, I'm sorry, we don't have any more time. Like right in the middle. It's like,
it was bad. It was always
S&D.
It was bad at the Super Bowl, but it was the worst time was the last time CBS flew us out to Television City. And they were pulling people in the middle of questions.
Norris Roberts cannot answer
that question. Goodbye.
And there'd be some, I remember there was this moose-like publicist that I swear to God, it looked like a combination of like Eve Arden and Godzilla, who came over and was just like, Doris, it was Doris. She has to go to the next interview right now. Oh, bite me. bite me with that. He's a nice guy. Wouldn't you say between him and, say, Guy Fieri, there are not many guys that would fit with the whole puppet thing. Better no, you wouldn't put Alton. You couldn't put if you put Alton Brown on a puppet show.
Alton used
you
puppets
would have a
different.
Disaster.
He uses puppets for different purposes.
You also need a deep background check.
Yeah, his puppets suck.
Deep just background like check. Sucks.
What's
you
doing?
You need a deep background check before you start a kid's show. He's clean. Duff is clean.
Duff is clean. Maybe not Alton.
You're such a mark. Why are we slamming? If we got Alton Brown, he'd be on the show tomorrow.
Yes,
of course.
If you tell Twitch to book Alton Brown.
Yes.
All right,
we'll have him on this show, and you can do the interview.
All right,
I'll be on the range.
And I'll write you questions about the science of cooking. You say I want to ask you about the acidity of baking soda.
What? Best baked product you ever enjoyed. Your favorite baked product.
Ooh. You know, I put my fruitcake pretty high, but I can't choose it because it's mine. I really can't choose it because it's my mom's.
It's in my top four.
My mom's oatmeal cookies.
Okay.
Right. I think it's probably, if I had a go-to, that would be my go-to. My mom's oatmeal cookies. The best.
My mom's flan. Fantastic.
Your flan?
Oh, the flan. Yeah.
So
does
good.
Flan really count as a baked good, though?
You have to bake it.
Isn't it more like a custard?
It's still in the oven,
it's not like
right?
a cookie or a cake.
You have to submerge the ramekin partially in water and put it in an oven.
Right.
I'm never full.
I had a carrot cake from the Publix grocery store like a week ago. It was really, really good.
You know, Carrie makes a very good carrot cake, too. That's
just before we get out of here. We
have you guys tried the Florida cake?
I'm going to.
That's good.
I'm going to look at Gold Belly. And see, we're not gonna slam it.
No,
what
I would like to do, Mike.
No,
see how much it would cost on Gold Belly to have some Ben's Half Smokes delivered to here, which is only about 2 miles away.
All right, well, I'm gonna put
because that wouldn't you say, Oscar? That's the if there were to be a food that would be delivered from DC, it would be the Half Smoke, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the signature food.
I've been on the site before. It is
all right. I'm on
worth the price of admission if it's a special.
He's got.
I thought it was a James Bond movie.
He's got red velvet heart cake, birthday cake, the classic DIY cake kit.
Ah,
that sells that too.
That stands for do it yourself.
Blue rose cupcakes. They're all right. Hold on, those are the best sellers. All right, trending. Let's see what's trending here. The blue rose chocolate cake is there. Mm. His cakes are beautiful. His cakes are. These are special occasion cakes.
Yeah,
they truly are. All right, let me see.
Even if the special occasion is just treating yourself, Oscar.
And I liked how he promoted briskets. And not even just what he does.
No, he's all about
it. He's like, get a sweet brisket from one of your favorite shows and pick up a cake if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course he said.
Like, a less scrupulous man would be like, get my cakes, goldbelly.com, now.
McClune's kit. McClune's Lobster Shack. Lobster roll.
Where's that? Where's McClune's? Have you ever heard of
South Thomaston, Maine.
Okay.
Hancock Gourmet Lobster Company.
Damn.
Now that's local for you, man.
Snap.
That is what? Oh, okay. Sorry, I'd like to pay my mortgage. Thank you. That's the way I look at it.
Just ask Kathy to put it in dry ice and send it down.
Yeah.
Wait, let me see how many you get. Let me double check. And
Oscar?
I think it comes with clam chowder.
It's Gold Kathy.
Gold Kathy. Mini lobster grilled cheese, lobster pot pies, a 4-pack.
A lobster pot pie.
All right. Very good. Very good. Let's sell more advertising. All right. We're going to take a break. And thank you, Duff Goldman. Don't forget, watch that show. Help him out. Help our friend out. Produced by the Jim Henson Company for Discovery Plus. Duff's Happy Fun Bake Time. Featuring our friend Duff Goldman, who was nice enough to come on our show. We'll be right back. Everybody. Let's open up the audio vault for today. Take it away, Rob.
Who is the captain now?
Oh, dear.
Diddle.
Oh, no.
Duffer. Diddle.
Fun is the best thing to have.
Duffer.
The digital dumpster.
Audio oddities and digital diversions. Don't miss the digital dumpster every day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So metal.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Big day in the O'Mara household. I will take my headphones off now because I, for the purposes of
the set.
Showing you with a visual aid, we have Trunk or Treat Day today.
Yes, it's a week. It feels like it's a week early.
Yeah, it seems so early for a...
Well, it's early because, you know, they're doing trunk or... I don't understand why they're doing it now, but I guess so if everybody has different Halloween things they want to do on the day itself, they can do it. But it's going to be trunk or treat. My little guy was out walking the dogs with me in his full pirate uniform, and usually there are 100 people in the neighborhood. I wanted everybody to see him, and of course it was a ghost town.
Yeah,
no one was around, but that's the way they roll. And so he wasn't able
let
to show
you down said, again.
Will anybody see me? And I said, well, tonight when we go to trunk or treat, we're actually bringing our car over there. We're going to decorate our car. It's going to be awesome.
Aww.
And mommy will be a pirate. Her name is Peg.
Peg, because of her leg?
I don't. That's what I said. And you know how Carla works, Rob. I looked at her. I said, Peg. Peg, oh, you're going to have a peg leg. Yeah. She said, no.
She said, huh?
What? So why do you
we
want
could
to be
take
called?
This broomstick and tie your leg around your, you know, around your back, and you can actually walk around with this broomstick.
Mm-hmm.
That could be something.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to have the
Peg is
the,
short the for Margaret.
Mike,
what?
You don't sound.
Well, I'm having a little trouble hearing Rob. What?
Peg is short for Margaret. Maybe that's why she's going with it. I'm just trying to think why she wouldn't go with the obvious. It's so obvious. It drives me crazy that she wouldn't think Peg leg.
I don't know.
Does it open up into a larger room?
I don't know.
Mike,
I really don't
know. Mike, your day started out with disappointment when no one was on the streets to see your wonderful son dressed up.
Yeah, because he looks so cute. I should have taken a picture of him, but I do that. I do that enough. He looked adorable, and you know, I mean, he's got a store bought suit, you know, a little pirate suit, but it's so adorable on him, and he's just, I mean, he's at that stage now where he looks cute in anything, but I said about a month ago, I said, why don't we go all in? Why don't we take the car over and be one of those cars that hands out the candy?
Sure.
And then we'll have the best of both worlds. So I said, we'll do a little pirate motif, and Rob sent me some pirate music today for that we're going to play in the car.
Perfect.
And then Mama's going to be a pirate, and Daddy's going to dress up as a pirate. I got a pirate shirt, but yesterday my pirate hat arrived, and I got a scary pirate hat.
Okay.
The hat itself is scary?
Sizing for hats traditionally has been troublesome for both of you guys, right?
Yeah, and how...
Army Hardy.
Oh, my God.
That is scary.
How do the glasses scare you?
You look like Rick James.
Yeah. It looks like you could be, you know, from Jamaica.
Yeah?
A pirate from Jamaica.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Here we go. This
or maybe
body.
In Kid Rock's band.
Oh, my God. Mike, when you saw the description of the pirate hair / hat, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it is a black hat with hair that cascades out of it. Unkempt.
No, it's the tattered hat. It's like what you would see in Pirates of the Caribbean, where the hat is like shredded. You know what I mean? It's not hair coming down. It's
those
the
are
top
all pieces.
Again,
the camera didn't know justice. Then it just looked like you were Milli Vanilli for 2 seconds.
It's like this.
Oh, it's a shredded hat.
It's shredded.
Okay,
it's shredded. Like you want to.
Army Hardy.
That makes sense. How are you going to do your teeth?
Yeah,
I don't. I have to get the stuff. I might go to the Walmart and grab some of the teeth wax.
Now, just because the people that work at Walmart look like they use it doesn't mean they sell it.
Well, they'll have something because it's.
They'll have something there. I'm going to go cheap. And then I'm going to darken the eyes. Carla's got the eye patch concession, so she's wearing the eye patch.
Peg will have the eye patch.
Yeah. I will do that. And then I've got the pirate shirt, and I'm wearing black shirts and sandals because that's what Florida pirates wear.
Sure.
What's the plank?
We're not even doing the plank thing. Carla was like, you know, it's like all these ideas. Hey, we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do. And then the day comes. It's like, okay, what time do we have to get over there? 5 o'clock. Okay. Do you really want to do the plank thing? I said, no, just let the kids walk up and get
candy. All you need is a 1x6. It's such a great idea.
Okay. Why don't you go out and get it, Mr. Man?
Well,
okay. Why don't you run out and get
it? To you in time.
No, I mean, it's just, no, we don't have time. I don't want to go to the wood store.
The world. My name is Mike and I'm here at the wood store. Do you sell pieces of sticks for building?
84 lumber. What are we going to do after it's done? What are we going to do after it's done?
You could use it to build a birdhouse.
Or give it to the church. Say, this is one piece of a cross. You get another one, you're good to go.
Yeah.
halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be exciting. But it's going to be fun. And then,
how about drinking? You know, you had mentioned that.
No, no, that's not going to happen. Okay. It's not, it's not, it just, it's not appropriate. I, you know, it's in a church parking lot. A lot of my pastor's probably going to be there, you know, and I don't want to be there. I'm a pirate. How you doing with breath? You know,
the breath.
That,
I think the breath would be a bigger issue because you handle your liquor very well.
Are you not as excited for this as you were two days ago?
I'm extraordinarily excited. By the time it comes today, I'm leading the show with it. I'm very, very excited. I'm thrilled to do this, so I'll be really looking forward to it. It should be a big fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know what? I'm thinking if they don't have any sort of black tooth blackening agent, you know what you could use? A black juju fruit.
Oh, yeah. Might be a lot easier.
And
might
tastier.
Be a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like that,
juju
too.
Juju fruit.
Can, you can eat it when it falls out. You just take all the black ones and you can update it. If it comes loose, you can just update it. And go,
that's true. And you know what's always a good joke is put a green one in your nostril.
Sure, you know what I might do? I said to Carl, and she got kind of concerned. I said, hey, it's not really an official Halloween unless I make a child cry.
I see you're a little princess. If you want candy, you're going to have to come by me.
And you'll say that to a boy.
Yes. Look, Mike, I love my father, but if he did anything fun like that when I was a kid, like, I don't remember it. Like, my dad, like, he showed up after
Halloween. My dad didn't either. My dad came to a lot of things. My dad came to a lot of Little League games, but I never remember him. When my sister was a kid, my mom set up the garage. We had a New England-style small Cape house that I was raised in. And the house was situated on the lot next to a rock ledge. It was a very unusual lot. My dad loved it that way. It wasn't your standard little square lot that in my town. And he got a good deal on it because it was an unusual lot to build a house.
Mm-hmm.
But he liked the fact that it was up against a ledge. So the house sat sideways. And the garage, instead of being on the side of the house, was actually the front of the house.
Yes.
Okay.
And my mom set up in the garage, this is when my sister was little, a cauldron with dry ice, and she dressed up as a witch, and she was stirring that, and the kids would come down the driveway, and my mom would be hee-hee-hee-hee. And then by the time I became Halloween age, my mom had blown that off.
Of course.
So hey, sorry, Mary, but it's the truth. You did it for Kathy. You didn't
let
it go.
Yeah, you want to know... An amazing thing that will probably surprise you as it did me is when I was like maybe 3 or 4, my father worked for a company that's still around called MITRE. They're based in the Tysons area. And for the MITRE Christmas party, my dad was Santa Claus. And all the kids got to come up and sit on his lap because he was probably the heaviest employee at MITRE at the time. And did you know, I didn't know about it until about 10 years later when he told me.
Oh, man. It you actually, didn't know he was Santa?
He
was So you me. Sat on Santa's lap and you thought it was really Santa and it was your dad.
It was my dad.
Well, he wasn't around that much when you were little,
No,
right?
He was around then. Yeah.
Just for the holidays.
I was a
holidays.
Santa. I was a Santa. Remember when I was a Santa at the bar when I did
yes!
the Sunday for the homeless shelter, and I did that at the bar and I was Santa. I have that. That's lying around somewhere. Might be up in Maine. The whole. I got the full suit. I got the
You
full
could
Santa
be Santa now.
I could be Santa now, but you know, you do Santa once when you've performed that wonderful task.
It is a wonderful job.
Know. You know what? I get. Look, there are two types of people. They're the people that are the professional Santas, which, by the way, you know, over the last 10 years, have you seen the explosion? All they have to do is go down to Patriot Harley-Davidson and just go, excuse me. You like to be Santa? Fat ass, goatee beard,
Santa.
Fat man, fat bad breath,
and
bad teeth, bad nose hair, ear hair,
nose
big
hair
white
Santa.
Beard, fat, leather vest.
Chaps.
You like to be Santa? God.
Some side cash.
I remember those meetings with all those people. It's just like, hey, Mike, welcome to Harley Owners Group. You know, I mean, I remember the breath.
How's my little weekend warrior?
Sam's booked with Santa gigs.
Mrs. Claus has tattoos.
But, you know, you get the professional Santas that are, you know, what is that? One step above the guys that are holding the signs? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
you know,
but the thing is that the ones that if you can nail down like a Tyson's Corner
gig.
Oh,
my God. If you get
one month, it would make your year.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Worth the suit alone.
And then there was the guy in Richmond. He when I was in school, he was called Sergeant Santa. And he'd work it so it was an all-year-round thing. Like he had a green Santa suit for St. Patrick's Day. And he did Easter stuff. This guy wouldn't let it go. He was a creep.
That's what I'm saying. There's a creep factor with people
absolutely.
That really dig it.
One of my good friends, she gets a Santa for one of her son's birthdays or daughter's birthdays every year, right? because it's in December. It's a big holiday party.
I was saying
right?
the birthday was in August.
Yeah. Right. So I asked her, I was like, how much does Santa, this guy look just like Santa? And right. she goes, he makes $1,000 a gig.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a very lucrative
in this
way
area,
to do it.
In this DC area. $1,000 to walk around and eat people's food and drink.
And the thing is really, he doesn't pay the elves anything.
Well, when you're talking about the store Santa's now, I don't care whether it's any retail shop, like a Bass Pro Shops or a right. mall or whatever. I want the real beard. If I go in and I see a fake beard on the Santa, it's like, I'm sorry, you could have done better.
Yeah.
You could have, especially down here in West South Florida. Yeah. You could seriously walk into a diner, stand at the door and go, excuse me, I've got a proposition for you.
And
you'd
Mike,
be good at it.
He can't be tanned.
No.
Like,
Santa,
if you've got sunburn and you're Santa. Then.
Yeah, there you go being racist again.
No, I'm just saying, like, you can't look at, you've been on vacation Santa the whole time. You got to look at, you haven't seen the sun.
Vacation yeah. Santa. You can actually find a lot of good Santa Clauses on the Dodgers.
By the way, man, they're up ones. Did you see the game yesterday? Did you watch it?
It was great. It was 2.5 hours. It was the shortest game ever.
I wanted to get 9 hours of sleep so I could be a pirate.
Dodgers.
I realize I'm looking at this right now with the glasses. Can I look any more like a doofus dork? Imagine if you saw a pirate like this in Pirates of the Caribbean. Hi, I think I'll do your accounting. Yes, sir. I'm your pirate.
The shirt will make it.
You can toughen it up. If anybody can toughen that up, you can do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to black the beard out. I'm going to get the beard
superpower.
Oh, and then it's just a question of the makeup. And I do have a good pirate shirt, which is going to be fantastic. But I don't have a big belt, and I don't have swords.
Well.
And yes. What? What? What do you mean, well? What?
You
what?
Have a pretty big belt. I do, too.
I don't have a pirate belt,
oh,
ass.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about
where's
size.
My demo? Just get my go to music.
Ladies, are you looking for hot singles in your area? Looking to connect with some of the most eligible bachelors and be swept off your feet and led into the sunset? Looking to find that kind of romance that can only be found in that movie Titanic?
Yeah? Well, me too. But in the meantime, you can find plenty of stupid cat videos to fill the void in the TMOS Ladies Who Lunch Facebook group. Join today to get your weekly dose of stupid pictures and connect with plenty of hot singles in your area. If you count Pony Boy.
Here's to the ladies who lunch.
The best of O'Mara.
Did you guys happen to see the picture that we posted of the jack-o'-lantern where I carved the pumpkin?
Yeah, it looked great.
Okay.
It was like a family tradition, right?
Yeah. This is a Florida thing. It's got to be a Florida thing. Because I never really was aware of this when I was back east during autumn when I would have a jack-o'-lantern. But I have to tell you this. The pumpkin was carved. Big, beautiful, tall pumpkin. My boy picked it out. It was just perfect. We carved it on the back porch, and then we put it out in front, and I put the little candles in it. The very first morning when I came out, I noticed that there were a lot of bugs flying around it. Now, that's not strange. You've got an open, carved pumpkin with holes in it. So
Mike,
probably
we like to call it an exposed squash.
It was an exposed squash, and it was just inundated with these bugs, okay? Flash forward to the next day. All right, this is Friday morning. I come out Friday, and I notice that the entire top where I'd carved it had been chopped off. Where it looked like to me the insects had eaten away at the face. So now where there
at
were
the
little teeth at the face.
Thank you.
But where they did this, it had caved in, and I'm like, could these tiny, they look like little fruit flies? Could they do that much chewing and damage? I thought, I didn't think about it, but I'm like, well, they must have. There's nothing else there. Flash forward to this morning. I walk out to walk the dogs. The pumpkin is off the tree stump from where our palm tree was before Hurricane Irma, and it is flat, and it is in the back of it. This pumpkin was carved on last Tuesday or Wednesday. That's how... This pumpkin is absolutely fresh. It's not.
Right,
it's
right.
not. Hasn't rotted yet. Hasn't had time to do the rot yet. And it is flat on the ground. And I said that there is no way that the insects could have caused so much damage that the pumpkin would have
collapsed
over and fallen, and now is lying flat. That has to be some
other critter.
Maybe. Or it's the rot from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That's you wouldn't believe how similar. Without the black and the goo all over it, but like with the flies and all the bugs, it has that look to it, but I have no idea. So there's some sort of creature. You know, I thought it was so sanitized down here in Cocoonville that it couldn't do that much damage, but it looked very, very scary.
It looks
scary. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell
that
is. I know who got it. Barb got it.
God, why do you just like Chrissy Metz, you are obsessed with it.
Well, poor Barb goes way back. Do you have
Are you
squirrels?
Watching Stranger Things? Are you watching anything contemporary?
I intend to watch it tonight.
You intend to. It doesn't count. You don't watch anything contemporary. You don't binge on a show.
I'm real sorry about your pumpkin, but don't take it out on me.
No, you don't watch anything contemporary.
I watched
on
Stranger
time.
Things before you did.
He did put us on to it. He did put
How
us on to it.
Not watching it this season.
What's that?
How come you're not watching it now?
I had things going on
what
this weekend.
What things did you have this weekend?
I had to ferry the kids all over the place. I had to ferry the kids
all over the place. What do you watch in the evening
Don't
when you sit
drive?
Down?
And then I watched the baseball game on for a Saturday night I watched. And I did
the
watch
whole thing. The whole
you don't
the
like
whole
sports.
Tray. Yeah, I did
you
watch
the
it? Game.
You watched the whole game?
Yeah.
You sat down and watched a baseball game?
I like World Series baseball because it matters. So you
see, this is
fun.
Do you believe him?
Yes, I believe him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I consume the World Series, and I barely like watching half the stuff.
He consumed the World Series.
Yes.
Where
you didn't
is
watch
it?
Mine.
Don't know. He consumed
the world.
It. The world.
Did you watch last night till 2 a.m., Mr. Baseball fan?
No, last night I was busy doing some other stuff.
Yeah,
man,
thank you.
Oh, man.
The one game you should have watched.
Well, I didn't watch it either. I watched the 17-minute highlight reel today, which was pretty amazing. It was truly. But Stranger Things, here's the thing. I don't care what the show is, no matter how popular it is. I'm a big believer for serial television that you always recap the previous season.
It's
you
just
always
it's
do.
Good business.
They have a recap.
I what?
They have a recap
they
on
do,
Netflix.
They do have a recap, but what Mike's looking for is when the series starts back up again, a quick recap at the front of the show.
Front of the episode, like they
where,
for
where would I have to search for the
It's a single standalone episode within the season.
Oh, see, no, I want the 60-second
last time.
Yeah.
Last
I want
season.
That, and they didn't give that to me, so when I got done with the... look at Pony's look. But it's like...
Maybe you can maybe you want the recap. You two houses.
Maybe you left the recap in your other house.
In your other house, isn't that right?
It's trying to help.
Or Kutsani or whatever his doll is.
He never needs a recap for his statues. He remembers that.
Well... The long and short of it is, I watched the first episode of Stranger Things, and I was kind of lost. I remembered bits and pieces, but I don't remember enough of it where I was able to kind of track with the big plot development that happened in the end of episode one of season two.
Mike, do not fret. I felt the same thing. I actually looked at Shannon, and I said, am I missing something? Because I thought I remembered the first season.
Did she think you were referring to Single Life?
No.
Okay, just
checking.
By the way, I should say this, that the genius of Stranger Things, and this is what I thought the first time you guys turned me on to it. Rob, I will give you full credit.
He was stopping in here in his flip-flops telling us about it.
On Stranger Things. So you did
a
tell me that.
A fine compliment from Oscar. Oh.
I will tell... Jeez, God. Somebody give him a sedative, please. Give him a sedative right now. The thing about Stranger Things, and this is where the brilliance of the show.
Yes.
The casting of these kids, these child actors, are the most brilliant child actors I have ever seen on television. And it's not one of them, it's all of them. Mm-hmm. And then they add cast members, and they are equally compelling, and they do just this amazing, amazing job. By the way, I think one of them might be featured in News You May Not Need today.
Oh, good.
I'm not saying it applies to all of them, but the one this story is about.
I did see that story.
Let's just say it'll make sense to you when I give it to you. But the cast is just so compelling. Those
when
kids
first,
are so compelling. And I hate child actors, but I love these kids.
Well, you see, that's the thing. When we first watched it, I think we had a similar discussion where he said the casting of the kids, the young kids, not the older brothers, they're almost like Spielbergian in the fact that
no. So you say Spielbergian. I have to tell you, they're better than because like Goonies and things like that. I don't like the kids that are out of control and precocious.
But not Spielberg Goonies. Kids, I'm talking like the kids in E.T.
Yeah.
Where you could like them.
You could like them, but they're better. They're actually better than the Spielberg.
I hate to interrupt this. I agree with both of you, but we have to clear something up here. This just in from the Pony Boy news desk. Pony Boy told Rob about Stranger Things. So Rob can't really get the credit.
Oh, busted!
Still told you about it, though.
Oh, no, that doesn't count, though. It you can't does. Say, you are such a... You're a conjurer. You're a conjurer. You can't claim ownership when Pony... I give you credit if I think that you've done something. I don't
All
steal...
All I said is that I told is, you about it. Pony didn't tell
you
about
what?
It.
None of us served in the military, That's but true. This is the equivalent of stolen valor on the Mike O'Mara show.
How dare you? I'm coming wearing my Stranger Things medal. You're going to make me take off my Stranger Things medal?
Take that uniform off that showed me Stranger Things. Pony was the originator for this?
He told me about it. I told you about it.
Pony consumes great television.
Well, because he has nothing going on in his life.
Well, when you're right, you're right.
And I'm the first one to say
so
that.
So, Pony, did you hip Oscar to it also?
I think I got Rob on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got
and
it from Rob.
Got everyone else.
Yeah.
Wow. And Bloodline was another great show until, of course, they
You got
canceled
me on Bloodline.
I got you on
you
Bloodline?
Did. You yeah. did. You yeah. did. You came in stomping oh, really? About Bloodline.
And yeah. Pony told me about 60 Minutes.
That is awesome.
I don't have to follow the plot because it's scary, and then the compelling nature of the kids. It's just they are. I don't know how
they do the 80s so well as
they
well.
They do, and they don't oversell it.
So beautiful.
That's the thing. They don't oversell it. It's not like a gimmicky 80s. It's the real deal.
It doesn't. I don't. The show, the Duffer Brothers. I guess those are the creators of the show. They just do such a great job on. So it's not like any other TV show. And there's great content out there. And I love when there's talented stuff out there that people are making. It makes me feel good. It's a pleasure to watch.
I intend to jump in tonight, but I do have a question since. It has been over a year since they shot the first season. Mm-hmm. Have the kids gotten older in a weird way, or have they aged well? How are they doing with the second
they've
aged, season?
They seem to have made an effort to age them normally.
Good.
And when I listen, there are only two of them that kind of that kind of seem a little odd. And they will be on news you may not need today, and it makes total sense because I've talked about it before. But we won't talk about it here. I will tell you there are two things, and rarely do I come in, especially on a Monday when we got the live show at the end of the weekend. Do I come in as Perry positive? But I'm coming in today to tell you that baseball fans, if you have even the slightest interest in the national pastime, baseball, I am telling you this is close to becoming one of the greatest World Series ever. They've had two of the greatest games in World Series history. And this is just a slugfest. And you don't have to be a fan of either team to watch this incredible story play out. And I didn't see it. I watched the highlights today, and I regret I didn't stay up because this is what baseball's all about. Absolutely
incredible. The lead change, the idea, and just a quick recap, and this is, again, I'm going to get 10 things wrong. But I thought... L.A. was just going to take the game. They were down by four, five runs.
Yeah, it looked Houston at the beginning down, like right? L.A. was going to get
and
it
I was
done.
Like, eh. And then I really got into the game when I saw the score again, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, the Astros are winning now.
Yeah.
And right. then you look back, you're like, oh, my God, it's 7-7. Like, what? And then you just keep going back and forth, and then It's tie.
It's the equivalent of a heavyweight fight going into the late rounds or during all the rounds where they just sit there and they pummel each other. And that's what they were doing.
So much
fun.
And
these pitchers are just throwing these balls up there and they are getting jacked. Now, of course, inevitably you hear pitchers because I think pitchers probably count as the whiniest people in baseball.
Whiniest position.
They're the divas. They're the ones that get to work every 4 days, 5 days, and they get to come. So you're hearing about the fact, I'm not sure exactly what the details are, that the baseballs in the postseason, in this particular World Series, are have a certain component to them that is making them harder to throw the breaking ball, and therefore they are getting jacked out of the park. I don't know how true that
it's
is.
That upper, it's that upper deck hologram they put on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's whatever what they're doing. I tell you, keep those baseballs for the rest of the regular season.
Oh,
because
yeah.
you know what? It is so exciting to watch, and it's so much fun. And the moment that they showed, and I didn't see this until I watched the Today Show this morning, the greatest moment is, I believe, the Dodgers tied the game or went ahead in late innings. I'm not sure. And you see on a home run, and you see this woman catch this home run ball.
and she's holding it, and this man, two seats over, reaches over, snatches it out of her hand, and throws it back on the field. And he's got this look. He looks like an 8-year-old boy when he does it. He's got this. His lips are all curled up. He goes, throw it back. We're losing.
Yeah,
we're losing the game.
You can't keep that memento.
The great tradition of doing that, you know, you've seen it at Wrigley. You've seen it at Yankee Stadium. You've seen it at ballparks all over. When your team loses, somebody gets a home run, you throw the ball back on the field. But this was like caught on camera because they got 500 cameras in the World Series. It's just another one of the little sidelights that's making this absolutely
a lot of people didn't think it would go six games, and now they've got to go back and thaw out Larry King.
Do they go back to L.A.?
L.A.
Are they going back to
last
L.A.?
Two games in L.A.
Yeah. There we are. Okay, man, get a Dodger dog. Get
Mary
a Dodger
Hart,
dog.
Cannon.
Mary Hart.
Hello, this is internet sensation Tati Abeje. Do you stare at your computer all day? Well, at least it's better than staring at Santana Moss. Face it, you're addicted. So, if you're staring at your computer anyway, you might as well be staring at the Mike O'Mara Show YouTube page. Just go to youtube.com/Mike O'Mara Show and click the bell to subscribe to our page. Now, you can see Mike make fun of Rob's big head or laugh at Oscar while he gets his head shaved. So hit up the TMOS YouTube page and watch all of the episodes that your computer-loving mind desires. Or just throw your computer out the window. Because if you're not watching us on YouTube, you're not using your computer for the right things anyway. Thank you.
The best of O'Mara.
We have talked about before that here at the Mike O'Mara World Broadcast Headquarters on Wisconsin Avenue in Washington, D.C., there is a ramp that that drives up to the driveway, which is located above the drugstore.
Yes.
So it is a parking lot. But it sits on top. That's kind of a, when you really think about that too, that's kind of a weird little situation. Isn't
it's a city.
When you really
though.
Think about
it's
that.
A city.
It's a
city.
It's a smart it's use a of real estate. But one day there's going to be right next to the tampons. There's going to be a Buick because it's going to come falling through.
It's. I wonder about that because it's really not a parking garage. It and I'm sure it had to live up to certain codes. But ultimately,
I feel this building in 1914.
Like somebody put a roof and then put concrete on top of it. Now there are a bunch of cars up there, and I hope it's strong enough that one day somebody's going to be in there getting their cough drops, and it's going to go, you know, like that.
Mike, there was already a fire, and it survived that.
They put up a sign that just said, "Come on."
Remember when there was a blaze
they survived
in there?
A fire?
There
they
was a big fire.
That's right.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the lady drove into the building.
Yeah, and the lady drove into the building. Like, so much has happened to that structure.
Yeah.
That whoever built it definitely built it beyond code.
Yeah. It was built by Adrian.
Was it a year? It was roughly, I'm going to say it was roughly a year ago that someone came in, one of the interns came in and said, and then all the guys came in and said there is human refuse. Waste that is on the ramp to the driveway.
Yes.
So the driveway that goes up to the top of the drugstore, right on the side behind the wall, there was poo.
Yes.
And toilet paper.
Poo.
Where someone had or some paper of
I
some
I believe
kind.
It was a box of tissues.
It was nasty.
Yeah,
and then,
it was.
I said, well, I'd like to see this because you guys were talking about it and I had no sense of what you... And I said, we need to get a picture of it. And Ashley volunteered. Lovely, sweet. It was.
She will be there.
It was
New Orleans.
She's coming. Oh, she's coming. That's wonderful.
Bringing her girlfriend too.
She that's GF. Awesome. All the way from Colorado.
Yes.
That's delightful.
Maybe Z will bring his boyfriend.
She okay. Well, that's Oscar. Send letters to Oscar Zoo.
Is this
not me.
Does that count as this? I don't know.
No.
It gets that weird.
We celebrate all lives.
No, that would count as you'd want to get your... no, I'm not doing that.
No, okay.
Anyway, we're on a slippery slope anyway. But speaking of slippery
the human
slope,
waste.
Ashley ran out to take a picture
photo
and then
journals.
Sent me the picture, and it was nasty.
Yes.
Oscar comes rolling into the studio today, and there's something about the location of this driveway, this ramp that goes up to the parking platform, that I think is hidden from the street, and because of that... private activities occur because Oscar came in today and I turn it over to him because there's a new discovery about that space, that sanitary space next to the studio.
It's easy to forget when we're in this part of the city that we're in the city because there's still a lot of green space, right?
You can't see what I just did, by the way. I was drinking and I flipped the entire lid over and my entire shirt now is soaked with water, but please proceed. I'm terrible.
Yeah, take it off.
What, do you want to see if we get you a ticket to Key West as well?
Yeah, this episode just became Fantasy Fest for ponies.
Excuse me. Oscar, that was very rude.
No
continue.
Problem.
I will not interrupt you.
Literatica yell at for me pony. For that. It's okay.
But it is. It's half. The ramp is maybe a
30
degree.
Can I talk, for God's sake?
Jesus Christ. See, when I interrupt and then I apologize for interrupting and then you continue the interruption. That's why we get Rob. From hundreds of listeners that say, let Oscar finish.
So, yes, everybody knows what a ramp looks like. And because Thank we're you. In the city, you essentially feel like there aren't many places where you can hide. Behind the CVS, there is an access road, which is essentially an alley, where I would think all the nefarious activity that has to happen in this part of the city would happen because you're on a dark road that's not well lit. But for some reason, people love to get their kinks off on this ramp for our parking garage, A being going number two, which you shouldn't do anywhere public, especially a parking ramp, and B, as of 2 days ago, we are now on, as of today, we are now on our second box of open Magnum condoms that are on that ramp. Now, a few things strike me when I see these Magnums. A, there's no way that a guy is having that much sex because my libido is basically dead. Mm-hmm. And then two is, why the Magnum condom? Like, why, what are you trying to prove on that ramp? Like, you mm-hmm. already, you clearly God has blessed you with everything you need. You don't have to get crazy on a ramp.
Maybe it's Tom Selleck.
Magnum P.I.
My knowledge of the Magnum condom, it is not necessarily proving something as much as it is necessity, correct? That if you purchase the Magnum condom, if you are not going to qualify for the Magnum condom, you're right. going to, you know, it'll be easy to tell because they're, you know, it'll be like... Mm. Putting a hefty bag on there.
It'll fit
correct?
Like a burka.
Like JNCOs.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, last time I can't wear
size 12. You know, I just can't. Like, I'll fall right out of the shoes.
I bought some Magnums. They said, would you like these gift wrapped? Just by looking at me.
Jesus Christ. That is so nasty. I am grossed out.
Finding it once is bad.
They're Magnums because the person needs those. Okay, those are the brand the brand they need.
Look. Sex outside is probably erotic for some people, right?
I know some people dig it.
Okay, I get it. And I don't judge you for that. What I judge is A, doing it on a ramp, doing it twice in a week, and why do you not at least clean up after yourself? So when people that are illegally parking across the street, when they're walking to their office building, they don't have to see the condoms there.
Is there a box of them, or is it just...
And
remember, this is a family show.
Yeah, today was an empty box, a wrapper, and something that looked to be used, but I did not pick up the wrapper to look at.
So the whole box was there? The box, the whole tray?
This is like a three hitter. Like a three box.
Wow.
The big box of 20.
Right.
I think that'd be wasteful if you left the box.
Yeah.
But it seems weird that someone who's willing to risk being caught having sex out in public is still smart enough to be practicing safe sex.
No.
I agree with that. I think that's a new age. I was thinking that is interesting.
It's part of it because you're protecting your life by wearing a condom.
Yeah. See, but when people
his
have sex,
kink is being outside, and the kink might be being caught.
I think we've got this all wrong here. A,
I
pony.
Do too.
When people have sex with prostitutes, they wear condoms, right?
Oh, that's right.
Like everybody wears condoms all the time. I know you probably don't have this issue.
Well, wait a minute. You live in the neighborhood, and hey, we should point out that there is a gentleman's club across the street in this neighborhood.
Yes.
Have you lived in Glover Park? I have to. Yeah. Is it Glover or Glover?
If I'm being honest, it's Glover Park. I call it Glover Park.
Okay. So I've been copying you with a mistake.
Good answer.
The majority of people say Glover Park. All the hipsters are like, it's Glover. You know what? F you.
It is Glover. It's like Danny Glover.
That's
it's
right.
It's like Danny Glover Park, right?
And that's where we get the word glove, which is another word for condom.
I'm just gonna say Georgetown.
But you lived in the neighborhood right there for a long time. Was there ever a
in your late night travels? Because you'd hang out at the Water.
Oh, I'd get hammered.
Did you ever see any evidence of, I know there's a gentleman's club there. Did you ever see any evidence of ladies of the evening, streetwalkers in the vicinity?
No, none of that. The only nefarious activity I've ever seen and ever, not seen, I'm sorry, ever really heard of in this area is there was a criminal element that really terrorized the city for, I want to say this part of the city for 3 years. And this is 5 years ago.
Okay. Like muggings.
No, there was a guy that would break into females' homes and he would snuggle with them and then leave.
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that
story. The Glover Park snuggler.
Yes.
The GPS.
Jeez, that's not a good time to tell me this. I just got done watching Mindhunter. That is scary.
So he would wake up, and this is the worst part. I still lived in the city, and when they released the description of this gentleman, Latin, 5'10", no facial hair. Like, at that point, early 30s.
So you immediately grew a beard?
And I remember sitting there, and I was like, And my girlfriend at the time was like, they're talking about you.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not breaking in people's houses and snuggling with them.
Let me tell you my theory about what's going on.
Good.
I think that my only opinion, because I'm not there nearly as much as you boys are every single day, okay? I come in occasionally, once every 3 years, just to say hi, see how everything's running. And all I know is, even in the limited time I've been there, when I've been outside having a tea at the Starbucks, I've seen multiple examples of a person just walking down the street going,
Yeah, mental illness.
There seems to be an element around our building that
it's colorful, Mike.
Yeah, but would the mentally
ill? It's the free Wi-Fi. It's the free Wi-Fi.
Sure, they have laptops. They have laptops and mental illness.
Big Mama
does. What they have.
Yes. Why would a mentally ill person be so consistent in safe sex, though?
Because, Rob, you said it, didn't you? Didn't you say
life preservation? Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I think that is probably something that supersedes all the other behavior. Look, and there's a convenience aspect to it. If you don't have a home and you're that, as opposed to doing it in like a public housing area where like a shelter or something, you probably would be. That could be the option, too. Where are the cameras?
I don't think this is neither
of those.
Has
no one fought this?
But guys,
no
one fought that. Guys. If you're homeless, you're not buying Magnum condoms. You're getting free condoms from the shelter. Like, you're not going and buying a 3-pack for $10 or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Okay, I think this is a member of the DCPD SWAT team that's using his battering ram and on that ramp, whatever he wants, or some horny teenager that, just can't get his own room because he lives with his parents and they're doing something crazy out there.
I think it is someone who is a person of the street who is doing this out of convenience and has a strong self-preservation aspect.
Let's get a coffee afterwards.
I think it's Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, there we are. There we are.
Of all people!
That's wonderful.
Oh, my God.
From American Public Media.
Yes, things are moving along at the Mike O'Mara Show app. Here's the latest news. Everybody's busy since the new update. Rob and Joe are baking their delicious homemade comedy biscuits. Oscar and Todd are out back behind the Tesla shucking corn and talking tech. Rob and Katie just finished whitewashing a fence in front of the Cake and Cookies broadcast shed. Gary Stein just sold a t-shirt and Tony Perkins at his mercantile store is doing gangbusters. And Marcus Serta is making sweet love to Steve Mermelstein in the Omericast sex dungeon. Yes, it's all well at the app, especially with the new TMOS Live feature. Now you can stream the show live as it happens and there's a classic TMOS at your fingertips 24/7. Make sure you download or update today. That's the news from the TMOS app, where everyone's phone is just a little bit smarter.
The best of O'Mara.
News.
Oh, that's loud.
Boo. All right, let's talk about it. I'm not a personal friend. I'm a fan, but it was kind of a gut shot for me. Alex Trebek was just diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He's 78 years old. He posted a video. Either of you guys see the video that he posted yesterday? What a brave dude. Just to handle it that way. It's hard. It's the most devastating thing you can get. Yeah, just a terrible rate. Killed a friend
fatality
of mine.
Rate.
A young man in his 40s. One of my best friends back in the day. And that's the first time ever as a young adult that I, as a young man, I was not really a young adult. I was, I was in my 40s. And it was one of the first times I ever had to go to a wake and see a contemporary because of pancreatic cancer. It's such a drag. Normally, as he said, the prognosis for this is not very encouraging. But Alex says, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to keep working. And with the love and support of my family and friends and with the help of your prayers, also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. So, yes, he will continue to host Jeopardy, at least for now. He's getting chemo. He has a fantastic sense of humor. This is his joke at the end. Truth be told, I have to beat it because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me keep the faith and we will win. I was just... You can't not be blown away by the balls
like
of Alex Trebek and what he's having. You know, you forget how old he is. He is 78 years old because he's a youthful guy, and you just don't realize it. And, you know, for whatever reason, I don't want to take any blame for this. I've been talking about Jeopardy again and again and how I'm just committed to it.
You were mad at it last week.
I was mad at it for their Tournament of Champions. Last night was back to normal. Yay! It was great. By the way, look, I don't like to brag, okay? I really don't like to brag, but I got the winning answer in Final Jeopardy, and none of the principals did. All right?
What was it?
The champion. Oh, God. Oh, no, no.
What
let,
is
me, let me think.
Emily.
Oh, God. Oh.
Latina woman.
Not. Oh, I wish I remembered it. Oh, now I'm... See, I was there, and I got it, and I high-fived my wife because I got it, but I'm trying to think. Oh, no.
It's okay.
It was a mechanical term... That was also used. Oh, now I gotta
in
get
a blender.
It. Now it's I forgot it. But you know he's a brave guy and
you want to call Carla. Just,
Carla is she won't remember it. I guarantee you.
Oh, she probably will. I think you benefit of the doubt.
All right. I don't know. She's working out with her mom.
Rofo's also looking for the.
Let me see what happens. Can you hear me, Carla?
A death station.
Hey. Do you remember what the final answer in Jeopardy was last night? What was it? What was it about? Do you remember what it was about?
Oh, gosh.
It was some term. It was like a mechanical term that was also used.
Backlash.
See, she knew. She knew.
Backlash. Yeah, I got backlash. And God bless you. Thank you, Carla. Big win. Thank you.
Big win.
Love you. Bye, sweetie. Say hi to Rofo. Oh, she's gone. I'm sorry. that was not directed
story
at you, Rofo.
Story is life.
So, yeah, backlash was the winning answer on Jeopardy last night, and I was very, very excited about it. It was very, very cool. So, Alex Trebek, good luck. Wouldn't that be great if he could, even at his advanced age, you know? Yeah, and if he doesn't, full life, wonderful life. And I yelled at a couple of listeners on the fan page that were saying, what is...
No bad shtick.
Yeah, what is death sentence? I'm sorry, man. No, I make jokes about death all the time. Funniest joke I ever made about death was my mother going to the assisted living facility where we were driving in a car with a full load of people, and I thought that was funny. And we said, by the way, stage one, you go to your house in your assisted living. You have a car. You can go to the city if you want. Stage two, somebody needs to help you. They come in and they can help you with, day-to-day tasks and maybe getting dressed and that side. Stage three, there's a full-time nursing facility. And at that moment, my sister was driving by this cemetery with my mother and my my children in the car. And she pointed to the cemetery and said, and that would be stage four. But anyway. But, you know, there is a time and a place, and it just... Rub me the wrong way to see people being flip about this just because he's the host and ha, what is a death sentence? Ha, ha, you know, not funny. I didn't dig it. I called him out on it. So there you have it. Lucille Ball. This is a particular story where it would be a good idea to have Rob Spiewak here today because he would love this. She died in 1989. That's 30 years ago. From a rupture of the aorta. But she may have been dealing with heart issues for years before that. There's a show on the Reels channel called Autopsy, The Last Hours Of. God, you know, what are you going to do? I'm going to go home, watch Dr. Pimple Popper, and then I'm going to watch Autopsy, The Last Hours Of. Yeah, and then I'm just going to, then I'm going to go to sleep by lifting the rock up and sliding underneath it. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, this week they're investigating Lucille Ball's death. A forensic pathologist, his name is Michael Hunter. He says that as early as 1984, Lucy was using a drug called amyl nitrate, more commonly referred to as poppers. Poppers are liquid inhalants that give you an intense buzz. They actually became popular as an aid to gay sex, but Dr. Hunter says that originally amyl nitrate was, quote, a prescription drug to treat pains in the chest.
Ooh.
So Lucille Ball was doing poppers. Do you know, early in my career, this is how old I am?
Yeah.
I did an impression, like on the Arch Campbell show, I did an impression of Lucille Ball.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, where I'd come out dressed in a drag.
Really?
I love drag. Yeah, I love drag. I'd be great down in New Orleans. Just put me in a drag show and I come out and go, I am Lucille Ball. It was like early on. I think I probably did it on the old Primetime Video Zoo with Don and Mike. I did that too. Not proud of any of that, but that's
it. Well, but you were playing character, right?
Yes. Thank you. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen. Boston Celtics star Kyrie Irving. Boy, is he popular with my family up in Boston. They love this guy. Well, he has been whining about how he doesn't want to be a celebrity, and he hates how the cameras are always on him. You know what? Since we're bringing this up, this is a Charles Barkley story, because Charles Barkley was talking about him whining. He may be number one on my hit parade as far as getting somebody on the show.
Oh,
it was his coworker Shaq that I wanted for a while. Now I want Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, Rob, just sidebar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not working on the show anymore.
Yes.
You march in here and you give that guy a day off and you run that show.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
1000%. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. Really had to twist my arm on that. No.
I feel like I'm walking
Charles
into something.
Charles Barkley. No, you're fine. I love that. Charles Barkley brings me so much joy. So this guy, the Celtic, Kyrie Irving, superstar, bitching about how he hates the camera always being on him. Charles Barkley's not having it. He was on ESPN's Get Up yesterday, and he said, quote, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid, but I've never seen a person so miserable. To have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hand, he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen. And then he goes on, Sir Charles, what a lot of these guys don't understand is when you're a star, you get all the credit, but you get all the blame. That's just how it is. Now, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver seemed to defend Kyrie's recent comments by saying, quote, we are living in a time of anxiety. I think part of it is a direct product of social media. I get that. I think those players, they're truly unhappy. They're not unhappy I'm not going to pile on Charles's comments. I'm going to let Charles do it, okay? Charles took issue with that quote. He said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard any commissioner say. Charles Barkley tells it like it is. These guys, Charles Barkley, I'll do my Charles impression.
Please.
These guys are making $20, $30, and $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus. I love Charles Barkley. He's right. He's right. Look, social media sucks for everybody who's got any level of fame whatsoever. Because there's so many flipping cowards out there that want to tell you, you know, their worst comment and make it right there so everybody can see it. But that's true. Look the other way because you're making $60 million a year. I don't know how you guys feel about
give me a break. Our friend, Dominique Foxworth, he's a panelist on Get Up on Wednesday mornings.
So, I've never seen anybody so miserable.
So, what's also fast, and I mentioned that because we've had this conversation off air, just these contracts are so massive. What we don't realize, Mike, is that most of these guys that have these dollars, they're still kids. They're still kids. So what the league could do, whether it's NBA or NFL, is work a little harder to really get these players ready for this type of positive and negative. Where
I was in my mid to late 20s when I got famous on a radio show. And I remember going down, and a couple of times there was being at a bar or a nightclub or something like that, and not wanting to wait in line and thinking that later on I reflected back on that dickishness and said, you know, this is about everybody. Who's the who do I want to talk about that's doing that? Oh, George Bush Sr., H.W. Bush. Mm-hmm. That, you know, not only did he try to beat everybody's brains out, but it was his absolute number one priority not to show people up. It's the same thing with being famous. You can't do it. It comes with the territory that people are going to take shots at you on social media and everywhere else for that matter. And because you have attained this level of fame because of your talent and your success, you can't bitch about it. It's not good form. Then,
unless,
by the way,
unless it's a talk show.
Yeah, well, a talk show.
We got to bitch.
Yeah. Well, no, we bitch.
Yes.
We bitch, but we bitch to be, I bitch by design to be comedically sound, to make people laugh. What I'm talking about is the bad form. And by the way, we live in an era of bad form.
Mm-hmm.
There's bad form everywhere. There's bad form and there's no accountability. We live in that world. I don't know if we'll always live in that world. Go back and watch. All you have to do, pop one of those Jane Austen movies on and watch the way people communicated problems back in the day. You will look at it and go, the idiots will look at it and go, oh my God, how ridiculous is that? But if you are really looking at the way people accounted for other people's feelings, which is non-existent now, you'll see a different time. But with that said, we do live in 2019. I agree with Sir Charles.
Yes.
Go home and count your money. Drive your Ferrari around and have a perfectly good time, And by the way, try to behave yourself because people are looking up to you because you're a celebrity.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.